welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, November 13th, 2011, and my son just threw my phone at me.
Good.
Yeah, and anyway, I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bowen's with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
You suddenly got a lot softer, Yvonne.
Oh, gosh. That's better.
Back to normal.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Oh.
Yvonne had a lovely night last night, apparently.
I got home, like, must have been, like, close to 6 a.m.
Partying?
I'm not sure how this turned into that, because all we did last night, first we went to just see somebody and said hi, then we said, well, why don't we go to the movies, okay? Which we did. Now, the one thing is that over here, let me correct what, you know, we have a... The movie theater near our house has a lovely adults-only VIP section, okay, all right, with restaurant and bar and everything, and they actually, like, have full bar service at the seats, and, like, the seats are actually, like, it's like being at home, basically. The seats over there, like, they've got, like, little table where you can put your stuff, they're big, comfortable, reclining, you know, chairs for you to watch the movie. So, I don't know, I just wanted to watch some silly movie, just something to like, amuse ourselves. So we went to see Tower Heist.
Okay. I haven't even heard of it, but okay.
Okay, it's a movie with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy and some other people, it was funny. I mean, it was fine. It was good to pass the time. And so then when we get out, we're sitting at the bar at the place, because they don't shut down the bar until, like, half an hour after the last movie ends, which, like, over there, I mean, the last movie ends, like, at 3 in the morning or something, whatever.
Nice, yeah.
So, so we're sitting over there, and, a friend of ours all of a sudden, like, you see the magic about Facebook. What, a friend of ours goes and checks in at this place that's, like, very close by. And we're like, oh, Ivan's over at the... this place. I'm like, okay, so we called him up, said, it's a friend of ours named Ivan, okay, all right, yeah, Ivan.
Okay, that was confusing for a minute.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And so we call up Ivan, hey, so where the fuck is this place? Oh, it's, over here, just a couple of blocks away. Okay, cool, we'll see you there. So we went, just to see, one of the things about social networking, people like, you know, so I had some asshole like saying, oh, you just like to check in just to show that you're going to cool places. No, he checked in over there. I got the notification. We're like, oh, shit, we haven't seen him in a while. He's over nearby. Let's go over there and see him. Okay, so we went and we saw him. So we went to this one place until they closed down. Then we went to this other place until they closed down. And then, I don't know, we got home like really late. And, so we're both, like, my wife is over there also, like right now, we're both like, oh, God, did we go off that long and, like, drink that much? I'm like, yeah, we did. I'm like, oh, God. So, so we're over here right now, like.
No, wait.
Alex wants me to wait. You gotta wait a little bit. I'm talking to Yvonne. You can get that down here.
So anyway, that was like...
So, and meanwhile, I've got, like, some kind of cold thing going on in my throat. That's lovely.
Oh, gosh. You know, I thought last week I was getting... I might have been getting something like that, but what happened is they freaking started painting our office, okay? And those fumes started to get to me, like, in 2 seconds. I had to just pack up my shit. I said, I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm not working from this fucking place. I'm out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll come back here when the pain fumes are gone. But I ain't fucking, you know, it was just killing me, so.
Anyway, we have a real show to do, too.
Yeah, we got a real show to do. Okay, so what are our topics?
Topics today, an update on Europe. Because there's been all kinds of stuff going on in there.
Yes, it has.
Italy, Greece, all the usuals. Some of the Republicans, because the circus continues.
The circus continues. But Department of Commerce,
I
can't remember. Right.
Anyway, then we've got Penn State. Some stuff going on there. You'd mentioned getting there was an iOS update. You've installed it. I have not.
I did on all the devices.
And if we have time, I was going to ask some questions to Yvonne to pick his brain about cars, because I'm going to be car shopping in a few weeks.
Well, I think we should start with that. That sounds interesting.
You want to start with cars because it's more fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, at the end of our show, you did give me like one model that you thought I should consider. But I've been thinking a little bit more since then, and I'm not discounting that one model at all. But
I think if I remember, was it the Fiesta?
It probably was.
Yes, okay.
But let me give you what I've been thinking a bit about my criteria.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, and then what I'm thinking is, like, and first of all, I've got a number that are already sort of on my mental list, and anything you change is not going to... is not going to change.
So you got a dollar budget that you get...
Let's start with this.
Good. Okay, all right.
Here we go.
Okay.
I am almost certain that I'm looking for a four-door hatchback.
Four-door hatchback, that's good.
Okay. No two-door, no sedan... No SUV.
All right, that makes a, you know, that gives a criteria. Okay, good.
Price-wise, like I said before, I'm looking for cheap, but what that means, I think, is absolutely positively under 25.
Okay, good.
Under
good,
20
good number.
If possible.
Okay, that's good. So we got under 20. Okay.
Yeah. Now I'll go a little bit above 20, maybe.
Okay, I see. But that's your. But let's stick to the goal. Let's stick to the goal. So four door hatchback, under 20.
Yes, and within that, I'm enamored of the idea of all wheel drive, but it's not a 100%, and I know that narrows it down considerably if you go with that.
You would like all wheel drive.
It brings it down to like two models if you include
that requirement.
Thinking.
Yeah, So
consider that, you know, it's something it can be balanced off against other features. The default out of the box stereo has to have an auxiliary input. That is a deal breaker.
All right, let's see. So if I go in here right now, hatchback, okay, all-wheel drive, check, okay.
And so what I'm looking at, if you give me like four or five models,
check.
I will research them more. And
15 to 25K, check. Okay. Okay. It actually leaves you with, very interesting... If you narrow it down to with four-wheel drive,
yep.
It leaves you the Toyota Matrix hatchback.
I didn't even know that one had all-wheel drive.
I didn't know that either until I just did it on this chart over here. Okay.
The Subaru Impreza.
The Subaru Impreza, correct. The Suzuki SX4 hatchback.
Yeah.
God, I can't even say it without laughing. The Nissan Juke.
The Nissan Juke, yeah.
Oh, shit. Your wife's going to kill me if I can get a Nissan Juke. And the Mitsubishi Lancer Sportback hatchback.
I haven't even heard of that one.
And the Mini Paceman hatchback.
Really? I didn't even know Mini made anything in that
list. I did not, not know either. It's a new model, okay, that's coming out. Target launch in summer of 2012.
See, now I'm not waiting until summer.
Okay. All right.
So the target time frame, I do want a 2012 model if possible, but my target time frame to buy is before the end of the year.
This week I had a conversation that was a little bit unnerving regarding Subarus, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I have somebody that has the same job as I do but covers a different geography, okay? Who told me that they had just purchased a car, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting time. And I was like, for your information, what they bought, they certainly went further, more money than you were to spend. They bought a Touareg diesel.
Okay.
All right. Which I have always found a very intriguing vehicle, because good fuel economy, four-wheel drive, big, et cetera, and so forth. But I was wondering, why'd you get rid of their car? I said, well, they had a Subaru, Impreza, four-door, which the automatic transmission died at 50,000 miles, okay?
Yeah, let me say right out, you know me, I've said this before, so I didn't repeat it, but my goal with any car I buy here is to drive it into ground and keep it until it doesn't move anymore.
I got you.
And my expectation, I want that to be like 15 years, not like 5.
Right, but this is the distressing thing that happened. Subaru refused to even pay for repairing it. Now, it was not under warranty, but let's face it, the car had only 50,000 miles.
Right.
I mean, an automatic transmission to die that short a time frame.
Their warranty's less than 50,000 miles now?
Yes,
I thought they'd all extend it.
36,000 miles only.
Wow.
So that really was not, did not give me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta say that, unfortunately, my latest experience with warranty service of the major Japanese companies has been like shit, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall that I had this Honda that the engine blew up a long time ago, and that Honda at first was refusing to honor their warranty and was trying to blame me for the problem.
Nice.
Okay?
Yep.
So that's why all of a sudden you're talking about keeping a car for that long, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know, like, so let's see. So I narrowed it down. I took out the four-wheel drive requirement because
you'll get a lot more.
You'll get a lot more. Okay.
Yep.
So for example, you got the Honda Fit.
Yep.
Got the Ford Focus hatchback.
Yep.
You got the Hyundai Elantra. Which, the other day, there's new Hyundais, and I was shocked at how nice the new Hyundais are.
Yeah, so
okay.
that's one of the things I've been talking about to a couple people. Like, the Korean cars have a bad reputation, but they've gotten better recently, haven't they?
I mean, better isn't just is not a strong enough word. I mean, right now, I will tell you that if you go and you get in the Hyundai Elantra and you get up in the Honda Civic, I mean, if they didn't tell you the brand was, you'd think the Honda was the Korean one.
Okay.
Okay, I mean that's how much different. I mean, I got into this Hyundai Elantra. I mean, that did not cost over $25,000. It had heated rear seats. It had Bluetooth. It had and the fit and finish was like spectacular. Okay, so I got to tell you that I would not throw those out of the equation. The other car, by the way, Volkswagen, the Golf.
Yeah, Golf. I'd looked at, well, I haven't actually looked at, like, gone to a dealership and looked at cars yet, but basically my process so far has been, as I'm driving around or going around town, when I see cars that look interesting, I try to make note of what model they are.
I will say this, we own the GTI, which is the high performance version of the Golf, the two-door coupe. I will tell you that is one of the most practical cars. I mean, here's one thing about it versus the other ones. The fit and finish is better than all of them. Okay, number one. But the second thing about it is that the interior room on the damn thing is just spectacular. Okay? I mean, our car with the two-door, with the rear seats up, you know, not folded down for storage. I mean, you open that trunk and it's bigger than most big sedans. I mean, the trunk. I mean, and that's with the seats up. Okay, that's not even fold them down. Okay, so I think that's a good option to look at. Especially when we're talking hatchback. I would avoid the Mitsubishis like the plague.
Mentioned Mazda.
Well, I'd avoid the Mazdas like the plague too.
Okay.
Resale value shit. On the Mazdas, I don't know. Their long-term longevity, in my experience, has never been the best. So I'm looking here. Let's see.
So let's narrow. I mean, you can.
So you're looking at the Fiat 500 hatchback, but that's two-door. No.
Those are cute little cars. I've just started to see them, but they're two doors. I really think I'm looking for a four.
Yeah. So Honda Fit.
So you're trying to do your top five list right now?
Yeah, I'll go with the Honda Fit. Okay,
okay.
Which even though the problems I had with them, I know that it's still a very good car. The Ford Focus.
Mm-hmm.
The Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
The Volkswagen Golf.
Mm-hmm.
Four. And I would say I don't like that Toyota Matrix. It's a piece of shit. I've driven that damn thing. It's a piece of shit. I wouldn't recommend it on anybody. I'd say that that's... I'm not going to recommend the Mitsubishi. They also have a lot long-term lifetime reliability problems. The Mini is cute, but it's... I mean, and it's great, but no, it's not that practical.
And it's not coming out till summer.
Right. Hyundai is a hatchback. I'm looking at over here. I mean, they have the take a look at the Elantra Touring hatchback. Yeah, I mean, those Hyundais are good value. Take a look at the Hyundai Elantra. They got the Touring hatchback. I mean, you can't go shopping without comparing it, because they are providing really good value.
Okay, now which are the ones you would avoid at all costs?
I would say right now, given what I just saw by Subaru's like handling of warranty, I would not go with a Subaru. The Suzuki SX4 hatchback, it's an ugly turd. I would not go near that.
I saw one the other day. They looked cute.
I
like the kind of round ones as opposed to the ones with the squared off edges. But you know.
They got that Scion XD. I mean, you know what? Take a look at that one. Maybe you'll like that. The little XD bread box. Yeah, I mean, they made it more round. It is a Toyota. The price is good. Okay. I would avoid the Mitsubishis like the plague. They just have bad long-term long-term reliability. So do the Mazdas. So I would say that's your list.
Okay. Well, okay. Like I said, I'll take into account your list. I'm also just as I'm wandering around, whenever I see something, I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I'm looking it up online.
I do have a very strong preference lately for just Volkswagens. I mean, I don't know. I've got, you know, we do have one. My parents actually have Volkswagens right now.
And obviously what my wife has right now is a Volkswagen.
That's right. I forgot. And you do have a Volkswagen right now. So I don't know how your experience has been with a car. But, you know, so far, I mean.
I don't know how much of this, and we should move on to other topics. But I don't know how much of this I mentioned when we first got it. When she first got this car. And so it was a used, like, two-year-old Volkswagen. But right after we got it, like, within days, it started, you know, the check engine light started coming on. And she took it in, of course. And they're like, and basically, bottom line is, they went through a process where she had loaners and they had her car for almost a month.
Because they couldn't figure out why all the damn thing was kept coming on?
Because they couldn't figure out what was going on. And they replaced, like, dozens of parts. Okay?
Interesting.
And eventually, of course, given what I've just told you, what was wrong?
An oxygen sensor.
No.
The check engine light.
Not the light, but the computer itself.
Okay.
What had happened was that I guess the previous owner had actually upgraded it, and it wasn't like properly noted in the records or whatever, and it was mismatched with something else.
That's what I was going to say. I said, you know what, a fucking car. The previous owner did something fucked up to it. That's the one thing I was about to say.
So anyway, so like thousands of dollars of stuff, which they were like, okay, one time deal, it's on us.
Okay.
So they have,
they took. They covered it.
They covered it. The car was, like, the first month we owned the car, she barely drove it. Like, she had it, like, 2 days.
Okay.
Or 3 days. And it was very frustrating, but in the end, they fixed it and they covered it. So.
That's the one thing. And that's the thing that I say, you know, when I was talking about the cars, that's the reason why I was like, you know, with Volkswagen and the Germans, you see, they'll step up to the plate and they say, you know what, our bad. We'll cover it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
my experience with the freaking Japanese, like lately, in terms of covering the freaking warranties, is like, oh, you fucked up the car. Oh, you don't know how to drive it. Oh, you don't, you know. And they're like saying, oh yeah, we built the perfect car and you fucked it up. I'm like, what? So anyway.
Okay, and American cars, they're back. They're okay.
Yeah, I mean, we don't own a number of them. I mean, you know, I know a number of people that bought the new small Fords.
Okay.
Very good. So.
Okay, we've gone on long enough about this. Let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll start talking about a few more serious issues for a little bit. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Oh, boy. Oh, Nelly.
And we're back.
Oh, boy.
So you want to talk about Europe first or Republicans first?
Let's go with the Republicans. I mean, they've been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so...
So we were going to cover about the Republicans... Oh, shit, I can't remember anymore.
Oops.
Oops. What the fuck? What the hell is prepping Barry for these damn things?
Well, from what I hear, and I was trying at first to watch all of these damn things, but at some point I fell behind, and like the last vein I actually watched was from like September or something. And okay. since then, I've only watched highlights and read about them. I haven't actually watched the full 2-hour freaking debate.
Okay.
I just want to put that out there, because I feel on one hand as a failure as like a pundit.
Okay.
But on the other hand, there are a lot of these, and they're freaking long.
Yes, they are. And apparently, as you can tell, not exactly, shining beacons of education.
But although, from what I hear in last night's debate, that would be Saturday, November 12th, Perry did much better. Although, he was saved by the bell.
Oh, he was? Okay,
because,
well.
First of all, let's back up. Earlier this week, there was a debate on, what was the topic? Was it economic issues?
Yes, it was a CNBC debate on economics.
Yeah, so anyway, it was a CNBC debate on economics, and he was asked something, and he decided that part of his answer would be about the federal departments that he would close. And no one had asked him, what departments would you close? The question something more general. And so he lists, a Department A, Department B, and then he forgot Department C completely.
Right.
And it turns out that the one he forgot...
And people were suggesting to him departments, I think, that I see that. It's like, no, that's not it. No.
Yeah. And then, the one that he actually forgot, the Energy Department... is actually one of the central pillars of his campaign is energy policy, theoretically. And people are like, just a brain freeze, whatever. And the counter argument is, okay, fine, it was just a brain freeze, but,
how the hell could you go and, try to, thermonuclear, get rid of one of the apartments that was, what is supposed to be of what you're trying to do?
Not even that. He honestly believes he wants to shut down the department, I guess, although there's interesting follow-up questions that could have been asked about the details of that. But, no, it's more like, I brain freeze all the time. I've probably brain freezed already in this show today, however, it's much less likely for you to have that kind of freeze up when you're talking about something that you spend a lot of time on, that you're an expert about, that you're really passionate about. What happened here was he froze on lines he had essentially memorized.
Right.
This wasn't like something where, he'd spend a lot of time and effort analyzing this question and deciding what he felt the right answer was. No, this was, hey, here's your soundbite. A, B, then C. Squeeze this in somewhere.
Right, and he couldn't do it.
And that was interesting. and he sort of, I must say, though, he handled it in probably the best way possible, which is that he acknowledged the mistake immediately, in the spin circuit right after, he was like, look, I really stepped in it, blah, blah, blah. He went on the talk show circuit the next morning. He made fun of himself. He was using humor. He was like, you know.
I mean, all sweet and dandy. But the one thing is that he just, you know, he just came off as a fucking, I mean, he's still a fucking doofus.
Well, yeah. And you can Google for like highlight reels of his best debate moments. And like, it's hilarious. I mean, he really is, you know, he makes George W. look articulate.
Right.
You know.
That's scary.
And I have my son and the dog, you know, playing with each other.
I'm noticing this. They're like in a fucking, like, I got the dog barking on one end and I got the kid going off on the other end.
Yeah, so anyway, so if I have to step away quickly to intervene because they're about to kill each other, you know, I'll, you know, let you know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Perry has been on a downward trend anyway. This is likely to accelerate it. I mean, people immediately afterwards is like, is this the end? Is he done? He's sticking around. He didn't just come out later and say, okay, I'm done. And he's got lots of money, so he's got the resources to stick around a bit longer. But, you know, he's on a downward trend now. And so we've got Newt coming up.
Right, I saw it. Newt Mentum, baby. Woohoo! Man, he picking up the pace. So basically, so we've got like right now, so the three-headed monster right now that we've got is
Romney, Kane, and Newt.
Right.
Oh, and did we even talk about Kane's sexual harassment stuff?
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
That was this week too.
Yes! I mean, what the hell?
Oh, and
you know,
I
didn't touch any of them. I mean, they're. I mean, I don't know. They're like lining up, like they're fucking, like, I mean, Jesus, like, I mean, I don't know. They're like, I never, you know. I mean, okay, so you get like one girl saying it too. No, I mean, they're like lining up like fucking. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have a trend here.
Yes!
And by the way, you know, this is a big, vast Democratic conspiracy, but every single one of these is right-wing Republican women.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, the interesting thing is, now, Kane's polls have started to go down again from their peak a little bit, but not a huge amount. And in various polls, they've asked Republicans how much of a deal this is, and a lot of them are like, yeah, this doesn't matter. Just to be fair, I can see the whole thing of like, you know, okay, your personal business is your personal business and it's not reflective of what you would do as a government leader, blah, blah, blah. However.
Yeah, but come on, man. I mean, really? I voted for Clinton, okay, all right, so it's not necessarily this has anything to do, you know, like, I mean, moral turpitude apparently, like, it gotta be the whole thing, but,
Well, yeah, I mean, like, Clinton had quite his own history here, and it wasn't just the one or two that we...
Yeah, but here's the difference, you know, this guy is being accused of unwanted sexual advances. Clinton was just fucking people.
Yeah, they were quite willing. The people
right.
With Clinton.
Clinton's girls were willing. These girls, none of them were.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, according to some of the descriptions, some of this isn't just sexual harassment. Some of this could quite well be sexual assault.
Right.
Because he used physical force to try to position them to do what he wanted.
Right. So, yeah.
So Kane,
you got a little bit of a problem over here. Okay.
So like we said, circus. A couple other circus items I just wanted to mention from last night's debate as well. Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me fix that, Alex.
Until then.
He just pulled a potted plant over on top of himself.
Oh, Gark. he seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, he's climbing. He was trying to get to it.
Well, Brownie just opened my door again. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I see it.
Oh, Brownie, seriously? Come on, get out of here. Beat it.
No, leave that there.
As you see, both of us are trying to record a show while being invaded by dogs, children, et cetera.
I'll put it down so you can see it. Look, you can look at it.
Why don't we take a little break so you can, like, take care of it?
I'm good now.
Okay, all right.
So I just wanted to bring up a couple things from yesterday's debate. One was Michelle Bachmann saying that the U.S. should be less socialist and be more like China.
Oh, yeah, there we go. This is a fucking country I want to emulate. What a fucking idiot. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. What a fucking idiot.
Wait, there are a couple more. Kevin... Okay, we'll do this one. Let's see. She also predicted a worldwide nuclear war against Israel.
A worldwide nuclear war against Israel? That's... Okay, great.
And basically, you know, the table is being set for that, and we have to do something about it. I'm reading, by the way, from highlights from Kevin Drum in Mother Jones Magazine, who did a quick highlights of the debate, and which he admitted at the top, he sort of only half paid attention to because he was watching...
Football game.
He was watching a football game on another channel, and he was reading Twitter.
Okay, I can understand that.
Herman Cain demonstrates that he knows nothing about Pakistan. So the question asked for Herman Cain was, you have said about foreign policy, America needs to be clear about who its friends are and who its foes are. So this evening, sir, Pakistan, friend or foe? His answer, we don't know. That's actually an okay answer. But what he said was, because Pakistan is where Osama bin Laden was found and eliminated, secondly, Pakistanis have a conversation with President Karzai from Afghanistan, and President Karzai has said if the United States gets into a dispute with Pakistan, then Afghanistan's going to side with Pakistan. There's a lot of clarity missing, like Speaker Gingrich says, in this whole region. They're all interrelated, so there's no clear answer. That relationship must be reevaluated.
Okay.
Rick Perry goes the Sarah Palin route when asked about his military experience. He was
he looked over Mexico.
He was the commander in chief of the Texas National Guard.
Oh well, okay, great. Well, at least he made a much bigger job than Bush did. Who actually, I guess, signed up for it, didn't show up for work at it, but yeah.
Oh, you got the circus music going.
Yes.
Okay.
Daddy.
And yes, leave that there. So all of the Republican candidates, with the exception of Ron Paul and John Huntsman, talked about how they thought torture was a good thing. They didn't use those words, but they basically defended waterboarding and enhanced interrogation and killing people without warrants with drone strikes and such. Ron Paul and John Huntsman both stood up and said, no, torture is bad. Are you guys out of your mind? And stood up and said that, drone attacks on American citizens without due process is probably a bad thing, too.
I would say that, on U.S. citizens without due process, I could see how that could be a serious problem.
On the other hand, Newt expressed the other side of that argument, which is, we're at war, damn it. If you're at war with us, we're going to kill you.
Okay. Well, that's eloquently put.
Rick Perry said that he will use torture until the day he dies. Although he didn't, again, he didn't use the word torture. It was, enhanced interrogation, blah, blah, blah. I am for using the techniques, not torture, but using those techniques that we know will extract the information to save young American lives, and I will be for it until I die.
Beautiful.
I mentioned China. Now, the Saved by the Bell Rick Perry one was Rick Perry was asked, how do you prevent the European crisis from becoming a problem on Wall Street? And he was asked this question with 20 seconds left until the end.
Ah, lucky fucking prick.
And so he said, the French and Germans have the economic forewithal to deal with this. They have
for
the economy.
Forewithal? What the fuck is forewithal?
I think it's like wherewithal. But it's for.
Okay.
They have the economy.
Shit.
When you think about the euro and when it was established, it was done to be a competitor to the American dollar. They knew what they were doing, and now they find themselves with their overspending and the sovereign debt being built up, and ding, ding,
time's
ding!
Time's up. Good.
And so everybody was like, oh, damn it! He was just about to make a fool of himself!
And damn it, and he got saved by the bell. Shit. Oh, well.
Anyway, it's been an interesting week for the Republicans. In the end, I don't think any of this changes a damn thing, which is that...
I mean, nobody knows what the fuck they want in the Republicans. I mean, let's face it, you've got Rob... what this shows is that nobody is happy with who the purported frontrunner is, who really, even no matter what the polls go up and down, it's Romney, okay?
Yeah.
So every other week, somebody surges, and then somebody comes down.
Yep.
First we got Perry going up, then he goes down, then we had Kane go up, now go down, now we got Newt going back up again. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, you know, I stand by the, one way or another, this is going to be Romney. And if it's not, if something happens that's not Romney, it's just going to be utter chaos. But I think it's Romney. And, you know, all of this tempts me. Every time I, like, think about this Republican circus, I'm tempted to be like, you know, all of these analyses that say Obama's on the ropes and has, like, you know, at best a 50-50 shot of re-election because of the fundamentals and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but look at these jokers.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's a good campaigner. He can knock any of these guys out of the park. But then I do realize, look, if it does end up being Romney, which is what everybody expects, Romney will very quickly put all of this stuff behind him, all of this chaos behind him, pivot to the center, and Romney's not a bad campaigner.
Right.
You know, and yes, he's got all his flip-flop issues, and yeah, I think there's
But if it's Romney, the two key problems that Romney has, like we mentioned before, the Christian conservatives.
Yeah.
And the real hard, diehard Tea Party movement. Okay.
Well, and the question with those, really like, the question is those, it's not, it's well, not like those guys are going to vote for Obama. The question is, do they stay home?
They may stay home, or they may vote third party. Or they may do a write-in or something, but it's just, I mean, I just don't see how these guys coalesce around Romney. That's the problem.
Right, well, and yeah. So, I don't know, the fantasy scenario is always the third party, the brokered convention, whatever. I'm not letting myself get my hopes up yet.
But the thing about the third party, I mean, let's face it, look at what happened, the effect that, that Perot had on the election when Clinton first won over Bush. If probably there was no Perot, probably would have had a second Bush senior term.
Yep. And by the way, if you look at pure at historical trends as well, if you look at not just number of terms of the president, but number of terms of the incumbent party, it is incredibly rare for one term of an incumbent party to... You have to wait. I'll put on your movie after I'm done talking with Yvonne.
No.
Yeah. I don't think he was too happy with that determination.
Anyway, it's incredibly rare for a one-term incumbent party to lose. Jimmy Carter is basically the only time in modern history.
Right, incumbent without a third, without a significant party, because you look at elections that we've had in the last 20 years that have been influenced by that. You had Perot in 92, okay,
yep.
And then you had what's his name? Nader in 2000,
right.
Okay.
Well, and even George H.W. Bush, by the way, even though he lost, he was actually the third term of the incumbent party because he was following on two successful Republican terms with Reagan.
That's right. So there you have it. So anyway.
So anyway, I'm tempted. I keep being tempted to be like, you know, given this circus, you know, it's got to be, you know, Obama's going to have a cakewalk. But you got to be very careful about that. It may be closer than that, but let's see. Anyway, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a break. I need to take a break as well.
Okay, I'm going to help out Alex and start his movie on a different computer, and we'll be back and talk about Europe.
All right, I need to step out for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Tag yourself with Blue Protection. La 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 la. Take the time for vaccination. La 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 la. Take action every day to help you. La 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 la. Take antivirals if doc says to. La 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 la. These actions every day.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.
Okay.
All right. Yep, we're back.
Yes, we are back. And what was the next topic? Oh, Europe.
Europe.
So what's going on now, Yvonne? Everything's continues to fall
apart. You know what the fuck is going on? Oh, God, you got all these fucking, like, hedge funds and, like, other people fucking, like, putting all this pressure on bonds, on everything. And so, basically, people are now scared over something they shouldn't. I mean, look, it's Italy, okay, here's one thing about Italy. Unlike, say, the U.S., okay. Just an example. Most Italian government debt is held by Italians. Okay. All right. The Italians, while the government may be just like the Japanese, while the government may be very profligate, the average Italian is very frugal. Okay. So they save a lot of money. Okay. So they buy a lot of the Italian government debt. Okay, like most of it, to be honest with you, like over 90% of it. Okay, so this whole fucking scare on Italian debt is just market people playing with the fucking market a little bit, and everybody just in a little bit of a panic over what's happening in Greece. And there is no real fucking crisis in Italy. I mean, it's just like the Japanese, for example, fuck, they have more outstanding government debt than the freaking Italians do. You don't see Italian, you know, they're being a run on Japan.
And sort of debt to GDP, all of these guys are actually better than the U.S., aren't they?
No, they're worse.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought at least one of these that we were talking about was. But
fuck no. Italy is at 120%. Japan's at 200.
Okay, never mind. I'm stupid. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, they carry a hell of a lot more debt. As percent to GDP with slower growth, okay? The historic long-term trend of growth of the Italians and Europe, I mean, the Italian economy has barely grown in 20 years. So is the Japanese. So this is just a freaking, it's just stupid, okay, this whole thing. So everybody got scared last week with it, but the bottom line is that even though it may have been, one of the things that it did push... Look, the Italians they need to get rid of Berlusconi. I mean, that son of a bitch had been holding on for 20 years. The guy had promised, for I don't know how freaking long, oh, I'm going to fix the economy, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Hadn't done shit. He just, you know, spent all his time fucking girls and, spending money and, enriching himself. He is a billionaire, for God's sakes, multi-billionaire.
Yeah,
the worst thing is that he's not a guy who while he ran the government, I mean, he did a lot of shit that benefited his own companies. So I mean, Italy had to get rid of him, and so finally they did, and so probably a good thing that that finally happened. But
he says he'll be back, though.
Yeah, so I heard he'd probably be dead. You know, so anyway, but I know he says that, but I mean, I don't think. Well, I mean, I think it happened before that he was out for like 6 months or something or whatever, and then all of a sudden he figured out a way to get back in.
So okay, so Italy's doing something. You say it's not a real crisis to begin with. Is Greece still screwed up? What's going on there?
Now they got a new government, and they keep talking. We keep dancing around solving the problem at Greece, and it just we don't seem to like solve it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I keep feeling about frickin' Greece. I mean, you keep dancing around it. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna solve it. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I don't know. We just keep like this fucking thing like hanging around, and we haven't finally put an end game to it. That's how I feel about this. So, I mean, they got a new prime minister. So they passed a whole bunch of bills.
You think we're actually going to avoid complete financial Armageddon?
I think that if this shit keeps happening, I think that we can avoid a financial Armageddon. But I don't know if we can avoid like the euro breaking apart. That's the one thing that I'm seeing. I don't see how all these strains and pressures on the European Union can keep the euro together. That's the one thing that I'm not sure about. So
do you see it? Do you see like, you know, 5 years from now, are we talking no euro, or are we talking euro in far fewer countries?
I think that if we go, we may have the euro plus other, like we had it before, where it was a currency that existed in tandem with other currencies existing. Because what I think will happen is that a country will finally say, fuck it, I'm just going to start printing my own money. And yeah, the euro's there, great, but we'll just print money and that's it.
So like a country like Greece start having their own currency, but everywhere still accepts euros too?
That's right. Yep, and I've seen that happen before. That happened in Argentina, by the way. It happened when when the currency devaluation happened. What happened was one of the province of Buenos Aires, started printing its own money.
Okay.
And it started, and it was being accepted too. So yeah, I mean, I've seen that happen. So yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
Okay, so anything else to say on Europe, or should we move on real quick to our last couple topics?
No, I think we can move on. I mean, it's just, you know, look, this thing keeps dragging out to that. There's going to be an end game at some point. Something's going to happen. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think it's, you know, people talk about fatalistically about it. I don't know if it's going to be super fatalistic, but something's got to give at some point. So.
Okay, let's do a quick one first before we do a break. iOS issued update 501 from Apple for addressing some battery issues with all of the devices that upgraded to 5.
Did you experience battery issues? Because I did.
Not that I noticed.
I definitely on my 3GS. No, I thought that it was the phone itself, because yeah. I know I have lost battery life since it was new, but all of a sudden it became much worse, and I thought it was the phone itself.
Yeah, you
but
mentioned that last week. So the update, first of all, this was the first update that they've pushed out over the air. Did you get this over the air?
Oh yeah, and it worked. It worked
now,
flawless.
Did you go and ask to get it, or did you wait
no,
for it
a pop-up
to come?
Showed up on my phone saying an update's available for your software.
So now I've been waiting. Like, because I know there's a way to force it, but I've been waiting for it to pop up on its own, and it hasn't yet.
It showed up on my 3GS. It didn't show up by itself on my other two devices. But I'm guessing that they're probably like not making it to everybody, so they just
they apparently released it. So like, if you actually say please go check for an update, you'll get it immediately. But if it's anything like the iTunes updates, the default is it checks once a week, and everybody's on a different schedule.
Okay. Well, yeah. On my phone, I just got the phone the other day. I grabbed it, and all of a sudden, it said, "Oh, look, there's an update available."
Did it work smoothly?
Yep. Like a charm. It was easier than any other upgrade I've done. I'll tell you this.
Did it solve the problem?
It seems like it. Yes.
Because there have been reports that it hasn't solved the problem for everybody.
I noticed that my iPad had been draining battery slightly faster, and so had my my 3GS. And I will tell you that, aside from fixing the battery problem on my 3GS, the phone had gotten like somewhat sluggish and crashy, like ever since I put iOS 5, and that went away, like entirely went away. It got back to being snappy and not crashy anymore. So.
Well, excellent. So I have not updated it yet. I am still waiting. I'm waiting for it to pop up on its own to tell me it's got an update rather than forcing it. So we'll see how long that takes. So I guess that's it with that. It's very cool to see it doing an update over the air at this point. Now, this was a small update. It'll be interesting to see what happens with a large update. But,
right, because the size of the update was definitely relatively small. So
although they do mention that there is a difference. The ones that are downloaded to the phone only download the new changed files, apparently, and are much smaller. If you do upgrade through iTunes, which you can still do, it downloads a much larger file, which is apparently it just a copy of the whole thing again to make sure you don't have any old corrupted files or whatever.
Okay.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back for our last segment, and we'll talk a bit about the goings-on at Penn State. We will be back after this exciting message. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. And we are back! And that was exciting, wasn't it,
everybody? Welcome back.
So, Penn State.
Penn State. Well, I don't know. Where do I start?
Do you want to summarize what happened, or shall I?
Okay, so basically, what it's been, a little over a week ago, this guy called Jerry Sandusky, who used to be, up until he retired in 99, the defensive coordinator for Penn State college football team, was indicted and arrested for sexually molesting a whole bunch of kids. He apparently, after he had retired, he was working on a children's program called Second Mile, I think, that, that took care of children. And a whole bunch of details. I actually read the complaint because I heard a lot of pundits on the radio talking about what had happened and why the fuck didn't this person do this or do that. I decided to, at one point, nobody kept explaining, well, what the fuck had happened, okay? So I said, well, let me grab the complaint.
You
must
mean the indictment, the text of the indictment?
Yeah. You know, after I read, like, victim number two, I just couldn't read anymore. I mean, it's just so disgusting. You know, it started first. The first victim happened sometime in 99. It was a kid that he kept bringing home. You know, and he would have him stay overs, and he started, like, doing stuff to the kid. I don't want to, like,
okay. Good enough.
You know, at home. The second victim, which is the one that really created the entire controversy. So Jerry Sandusky had been assigned, had still kept an office at Penn State even after his retirement. Okay, all right. So sometime in 2002, late at night on a Friday, this guy who was a grad student, and he was an he worked for the football team.
He was a grad student, but he was also involved in the team in significant ways. He was a former player, etc.
Right. So he was there. So he had gotten some new sneakers or something, and he was going to put them in his locker, which was in this building, where this guy Jerry Sandusky kept an office. So he gets there, and it's like late on a Friday night. And he gets there, and he's like, oh, the doors are open. And I'm like, oh, lights are on in the shower. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So he walks over, and he says that he heard, like, moans and sounds like somebody having sex. Okay? So he walks over and looks into the shower, and this guy has this kid bent over and he's fucking him up the ass. I mean, how the hell else am I going to describe it, you know, because...
The kid is like, what, 10?
10 years old, okay? All right? And he sees this, but this is where everything gets fucked up and why the whole controversy blew up. He sees this, and at that point, he doesn't do anything.
You want me to open this?
Okay? All right? So...
Right. Well,
He doesn't do anything about it at that time.
He doesn't call the cops.
Right. Which is the first thing I'm saying. Seeing a guy butt fucking a 10-year-old kid, and you don't just call the cops.
I mean, the two things that people have said is one, you know, this guy was a big football player. He might have been able to intervene directly, but okay, I understand how you might not want to do that, but at least. Wouldn't, like, any normal person's first instinct be call 911?
Yes! I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Or I don't know. I mean, I understand. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm, like, thinking, I mean, what the fuck else? I mean, what other thing could you like, sanely do? That's what I'm thinking. But he doesn't do that. Okay? So he goes, I think he calls his dad. Well, one of the calls that he makes is Joe Paterno, the Penn State coach. Now, I was reading, and this is the reason why I grabbed the transcript, because I wanted to read what the fuck did he say to him. Okay, all right. And what he said wasn't, hey, I walked in the shower and saw Jerry butt-fucking a kid. No, he said, and I understand why, because even I had trouble, like, saying this, okay? I'm like, I saw him doing something sexually, I saw him doing something inappropriate, okay?
Okay.
Or sexually inappropriate. It wasn't like, you know, like I, you know, like I just said, okay?
Well, so, I will say. If you say the words sexually inappropriate involving an adult and a 10-year-old child,
but there are only so many
things that can be going on, and they're all bad.
Here's the thing that I'm thinking. I'm like, if I go and I'm like, look, somebody comes in, say, and tells me, look, I saw Sam doing something that I consider sexually inappropriate, and you're my friend, right? And I've known you for 20 years. The last thing I'm going to think is that you're butt-fucking a kid!
Did he mention the fact that there was a child involved at all?
Yes! But it was like... But he said it's something sexually inappropriate. It wasn't like... He didn't go, like, flat-out say that, okay? And I'm thinking... And my thought was, shit, look, somebody tells me something about somebody I've known for a long time, they're doing something... I don't think that I'm not gonna be thinking like the worst case scenario.
I'm gonna be thinking... Your default position is probably gonna be, he must have... Like
misinterpreted something. He must have been playing around or something. But I don't. My default thinking isn't gonna be that you were fucking like bending over a kid and fucking him up the ass.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just not the first thing that's gonna cross my head. Okay. So he wasn't explicit about it in that way, which I can understand why he didn't want to. But yet at the same time, he really needed to. Okay?
Yeah.
To convey the urgency of what was going on. It wasn't like just something like, you know, it wasn't like you just saw them naked in the shower doing something. You know, I don't know. I mean, whatever.
Although, again, I get your point, Yvonne. But if you say the words adult, 10-year-old, sexual, you're done.
But there's nothing else that needs to be said. Here's the thing. You know, I get it. I understand the concern that people are saying, but what I'm saying is that most people, especially when they're talking about somebody that you know, you are not going to be assuming the worst of them.
But I mean,
that's not your default position. And if somebody doesn't bring you the urgency of it, going to go and like say somebody saying sexually inappropriate, and you're going to be thinking that.
I'm sorry,
forget about that. It doesn't matter because he went, the first thing he did, said, shit, something happened? Okay, fuck. Let me call the university president. Let me call our athletic director. So, since the guy wasn't working for him anymore.
Right.
I'm thinking, so let me make a few calls, which he did. And these guys told everybody, we're going to be doing something about this, okay? Ah. Which they told everybody. But then they didn't do shit. And I'm like going back and I'm like, my thinking here is like, it all comes back to what I keep going is like, why the fuck didn't the guy in the first place that saw this with his own eyes fucking didn't just pick up the phone and call the police? Because honestly, the onus of action in the first place fell on him. Now, did other people fail to follow up on it? Should they have done better? Yes. But the guy who was the chain and the link who actually saw this, who had the main onus, didn't do so. I am going to say...
What's interesting is, my opinion is all of these people deserved what they got. But I found it interesting that the guy who actually saw it was the last one fired.
Yeah, I know. And the second thing...
He should have been the first one.
But let me tell you something. I will say this, that... Joe Paterno has been pilloried all week in the press, and I think that he's probably gotten way bigger a bum rap than he deserves to.
No, so let me go back. Stop.
I'm going to say that the university president, I mean, let's face it, the university president is the guy that took it upon himself, talked to the guy, got the information, and then didn't do anything. The guy that didn't go do anything. But I'm going to say, like, from my personal perspective, I tried to put myself in the shoes of like, the different persons, okay? All right? So let me put myself in the shoes of the person that saw this, okay? I don't understand why he didn't feel that it was urgent, like if he didn't see any action, to immediately not call the police.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? That's the one thing that still I'm struggling with, because I'm like, I don't see how I mean, fuck, I get that. I go in and I see something like that happening. I'm getting something done. I mean, I'm getting something done. All right? I mean, I don't care if the president, Joe Paterno, nobody fucking listens to me. I'm getting something done.
Yeah.
All right? So that's the one thing that really I don't understand, okay, why this guy didn't get anything done, number one. I put myself in the shoes of Joe Paterno, and I'm seeing a guy who – one of my guys comes in, tells me that he saw something inappropriate. I go and immediately I pick up the phone and call people that I think are in responsibility because – honestly, what I got is a story that says something like strange is happening, but I didn't get all the details of what was happening.
So,
okay,
let me make my point. Wait. I know you're going, but I've been trying to say this for a little bit.
Go ahead.
Like I understand your point about you don't immediately assume the worst case scenario, but what I'm saying is fundamentally, what the fuck is the best case scenario when someone says the adult is doing something sexually inappropriate with the child? And the best case scenario there is still bad enough that your first action should be call the fucking police.
You think so? Really? I mean,
yes,
I don't know.
The best...
No. You see, here's the thing. What I'm thinking... Because my best case scenario is that maybe this guy misunderstood something or saw something, you know, like he thought it was one thing and maybe it was something different. And sometimes you take things out of context and it looks like fucked up. That's my best case scenario thing. Okay? All right?
Okay. I can...
I mean, you know,
maybe.
You catch somebody... in a strange moment, like in a locker room or in a shower, and you take that snapshot, and it could look really bad, but nothing was really happening. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. Okay, but that's what I'm taking as that's what I'm guessing is the best case scenario.
Okay, I'm not sure I buy it, but I'll let you continue. Go ahead.
But you gotta remember something. Think about. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me, but if I get told that you are doing something like that, okay? Yeah. My default thinking is, Oh, come on. You must have misunderstood what the fuck's
going on. You're
going
to give me the benefit of the doubt because you've known me for so long and you think...
That I can't imagine that you're going to be doing something like that.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So you start thinking there has to be another explanation.
There has to be another explanation.
Hi, Alex. Okay, continue.
So, okay, but then I go, okay, you get to the university president and they had... You sit down with this guy, and he goes in detail over what the hell happened, right? How in God's name, you as the fucking leader of an
institution... So wait, just to be clear, when the president talked to... Who did the president talk to? The guy...
The guy that saw the whole thing happen!
So the guy you saw...
Yes!
And he did get the details at that point.
Yes!
Okay, and then nothing.
They didn't do anything!
Okay.
And that's what I don't understand. How the hell did these two guys go and sit down with him, get all the details of what happened, and then do nothing?
Yeah.
And those are the guys that I'm sitting... I'm like, okay, you got this information. You got the details from him, right? You're sitting there. You're the president of this fucking university. What could, in your mind, make you believe that you really shouldn't fucking, like, call a four-alarm fire here? Okay.
Right. And you hear some things about, like, they wanted to cover it up to protect the university or something, but it's exactly the opposite. If you want to protect the university, you take quick, decisive action.
Right.
Oh, there goes my plant again. Keep talking.
Yeah, so that's what I'm seeing as I put myself in the shoes of the different people. You know, I can understand. I mean, I definitely can understand. I personally think that I would be the last person to think that somebody that I've known for a long time is going to be doing something like that. Especially if nobody is very clear about what's going on. Okay, my default thinking is I'm going to just be thinking the best case. I know that probably in hindsight, you know, then you think about it, you're like, well, fuck, I guess I could have asked for something, but. But in the end, I go back to the guy who fucking saw this happen. It just didn't do anything, man. I mean, I just don't get it. I just don't. I just really don't. It really baffles me. I don't know about you, but that just...
I can't... I mean, I can understand it being a traumatic situation and not knowing... And sort of being confused and not...
Immediately at that second not knowing exactly what to do, but damn it, you know, you think about it, the longer you think about it, the longer you gotta think, it's like, holy fuck.
And of course, he also went and called his dad or whatever, and his dad wasn't like, call 911. Somehow it's, go call your coach. I don't know.
Yeah, go call your coach? I mean, not call the cops?
So, one more aspect of this I think is worth mentioning. After Penn State took action and fired all these people...
Right.
The students... rioted
right.
in support of the people who just got fired.
I think that I don't actually recall who they were in support. I think they were in support of Coach Paterno for the most part, not the other people. And I think the main reason is I personally think that he got a lot of like heat, a lot more than he deserved, I think. Like for what happened, you know, that's my take. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think that, that it was just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just one of those things that people, like, you know, there's a guy that had been there for a long time, and a lot of people, including myself, think that he probably got a lot more blame than he deserved for the situation that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that in retrospect, and the way that the university handled it, I think, is the other thing. Because... You know, on Tuesday, Joe Paterno was supposed to have a conference, press conference, and he was willing to go and take questions at a press conference, and the university canceled it and told him to shut up and just not say anything. And he felt like, I think people felt like he got screwed. So he was willing to go. He was the only guy willing to go out there and actually talk about it, about what happened. And the university said, don't. And then they didn't sit down and talk to him about it. And they went, they fired him. And I think people just think that somehow he got a bum rap, because I don't think that they were willing to listen to anything he had to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens next. I mean, there's criminal charges potentially happening for some of these people.
Yeah.
But
it's been made. By the way, it's been made clear by the police that there are no criminal charges against Joe Paterno. Okay. Yeah. That's been made resoundingly clear. The people who are facing criminal charges, because he went and he went to the grand jury, that there's a test, his testimony in there, he testified directly like as to what happened. The problem that they got, why a couple of people they've got the criminal charges were against them, were for perjury, because they showed up but they didn't fucking truthfully tell what happened. Okay, so that's where this whole thing gets even messier and messier. Where these guys went and showed up and didn't say that, just didn't go and fess up at what'd been going on.
Yeah, so. Okay. I mean, I'm not sure I entirely buy your argument on Paterno in terms of, we'll let it go. We'll see what happens here. I still think, you know, the protesters, the people came out and rioted. Yeah, really. I think they did themselves and their school a disservice, because
I totally agree.
Regardless of the details here, I don't think that they were thinking it through even in the way that you have. I think they were reflexively defending, you know, Paterno
right.
and stuff.
Oh, no,
I
agree.
And yeah. What it came out as, what it appeared to be to the entire world was, seriously, you guys are defending the guy who defended the child molester?
Yeah, I know.
You know, so. Anyway, I think that's a show.
Right. That's a show. All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, etc. And tell your friends about the show and tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.